And it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So appreciative of David Crowder allowing me to use that song. I've never asked him, but we play it every single week. So we are thankful he's a Christian, so I'm sure he's good. He's good with that. So what we're going to do this week is the same thing we do every week. We're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about hope. But today I'm going to focus on something that I haven't spent a ton of time on over the past few months, and that is fatherhood. So we're going to talk about why dads should be engaged in the child rearing process. So why should dads be involved at all? What does that mean? How do we get more dads involved? And the reason that I want to talk about this is because this past week, my son, my oldest child, turned 5 years old. So what that means is my son starts kindergarten in the fall. While he was turning, you know, while we celebrated his birthday, we had an amazing birthday party, a superhero party where Batman showed up and they got to make their own superhero capes and masks, and obviously it had nothing to do with planning any of that, but it was a great opportunity to reflect. And so as I look back at the last 5 years that we've had with my son, I just was blown away at the type of boy that he is, and I know that he's still a little boy, so that means that at times he's a pill, and he's hard to deal with, and he doesn't listen, and he talks back, but ultimately our five-year-old little boy loves people, and he loves to tell you that he loves you. He loves to hug, and he loves to kiss, and he loves to just, he doesn't really meet a stranger, which may be a bad thing, but it is cool that he does that. And so as I was reflecting, I thought back to when I found out that my wife was pregnant, all those years ago. So my wife and I, we tried to get pregnant for a couple years, and we're unable to do that. And we didn't know what that meant for us. We didn't know, you know, does God have a different plan for us? Does that not include a pregnancy? And then my wife, I was working at the University of Tennessee at the time, and my wife came to my office, and she had a bag in her hand. And in the bag was a gift and a card, and the card said, "Hey, we're having a baby." And she was really early in the pregnancy, but being the big sap that I am, I immediately started crying. My wife was crying. So the first people that we told about our new baby was the people I worked with, because I didn't want them to think that we were getting a divorce, because we were both crying and my wife randomly visited me at work. So we shared that news with people, and we shared it with anyone that we could share it with. And I immediately, right then and there, while my, even though I didn't know he was my son at the time, as far as I didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl, right then and there, I immediately thought, I'm going to be a dad. I'm a dad right now, because we believe life begins at conception. And so I started working toward, what does that mean? What does being a dad mean? And so since then, we've had three more pregnancies, one miscarriage, and two babies. We have two daughters. We have Summer, who will be three in May, and then Evelyn, who is around 3-4 months old. So, but the whole time as a dad, I've been really involved and engaged in the process. And it saddens me to know that there are so many men not involved and engaged in the process. So think about for a second, think about my generation. Think about my generation versus an older generation. So right now, I mean, I lay in bed with my kids every single night. I tuck them in. Both my son and my daughter want to hold my hand, and we hug, and we do things that my dad, I never did with. And I think it's because of a generational thing. My dad was not a hugger, so we didn't hug. We didn't tell each other that we loved each other. We knew it, and we still know it, but we still, you know, men didn't do that. That was kind of the thought process. And the first time I held my son, at no point was I thinking, I'm not going to have that conversation with him. So generations are a little bit different, but as dads, we have to be engaged and involved. That doesn't necessarily mean hugging and kissing, but it certainly means being involved in their life. The other night, my son stubbed his toe, and I picked him up, and I set him on the counter. And my son looked at me, and he said, "Daddy, you will always be able to carry me." Now, think about that. And my son has no idea what that little phrase means to me. But my son at 5 years old believes fully that no matter what time in his life, how old he is, that his daddy is going to be there to pick him up and carry him. And so that warms my heart, but that only happens if we are involved and engaged in our kids' lives. And I know some people are going to listen to this and say, well, you're acting like all men are lousy and all women are amazing parents. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is I'm speaking right now to men and to men that need to step up and take ownership of consequences of their actions. So we need dads. And again, that is a different mindset. Culture says women do not need men. Kids do not need men. Society does not need men. That is what we hear. That is the narrative that we hear all the time. And what I'm saying is men were designed to lead. Men were designed to be involved. Now I understand my wife is a very independent woman. My mother-in-law is a very independent woman. But to argue that men are not needed, just like I wouldn't argue that moms and women are not needed, they are absolutely needed in our society. And so if we want the ideal situation for raising a child, the ideal situation is for mom and dad to be engaged in the process. And so we do need dads. We do need men to step up and stand and take responsibility. And I think that one of the main reasons is because the numbers are staggering at the impact that they can have if men will step in and be involved. So listen to this. In a study examining father involvement with 134 children of adolescent mothers over the first 10 years of life, researchers found that father-child contact was associated with better socio-emotional and academic functioning. The results indicated that children with more involved fathers experienced fewer behavioral problems and scored higher on reading achievement. This study showed the significance of the role the father plays in the lives of at-risk children, even in case of non-resident fathers. So hear this, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. I'm not saying go off and get married. What I'm saying is if you made a baby, then mom and dad need to be involved in that baby's life. Listen to this, father factor in poverty. Children in father-absent homes are almost four times more likely to be poor. In 2011, 12% of children in married couple families were living in poverty. Listen to that. In 2011, 12% of children in married couple families, so that means mom and dad's married and everyone's living together, 12% were living in poverty. Now listen to the number of those that were living in mother-only families. 44% of children in mother-only families were living in poverty. 44%. So father factor and emotional and behavioral problems. Data from three waves of the Fragile Family Study was used to examine the prevalence and effects of mothers' relationship changes between birth and age three on their children's well-being. Children born to single mothers show higher levels of aggressive behavior than children born to married mothers. Living in a single mother household is equivalent to experiencing 5.25 partnership transitions. Now, again, what we're doing is we're highlighting the need for a dad to be involved. I know that there's going to be people that listen to this and they're going to hear these and they're going to say, you don't understand. The father of my baby is a deadbeat. I get that. My message is not necessarily to you. My message is to the deadbeat saying, hey, we weren't called to be deadbeats. We were called to be involved and engaged in the life of our child. Father factor in maternal and child health. Infant mortality rates are 1.8 times higher for infants of unmarried mothers than for married mothers. Father factor in incarceration. Even after controlling for income, youths in father-absent households still had significantly higher odds of incarceration than those in mother-father families. Youths who never had a father in the household experienced the highest odds. So if we want to talk about the culture, and you know, it's funny, as we're coming into an election, and everyone's talking about the cops going out and hurting people, or black-on-black crime, or white-on-white crime, and shootings, and all of these things. Everyone wants to talk about that, but no one wants to talk about the true issue. And the true issue is a culture that not only devalues life, but a culture that devalues the family. And we cannot celebrate the devaluing of family. Because in most of the cases, where kids end up in jail or they don't finish high school, in most of those cases, it's because there was an absent father. That is the common denominator. Now, there are cases like Dr. Ben Carson, who had an absent father, who was raised by a single mom that couldn't even read. And he became one of the greatest surgeons this world's ever seen and almost became president of the United States, at least the Republican candidate. So there are cases where people can do extraordinary things. But do we not seek for the ideal situation? That is what we should be doing. We should seek the ideal situation. The ideal situation is for a father to not be absent, but for a father to be involved. Kids need that. A study of 109 juvenile offenders indicated that family structure significantly predicts delinquency. So a lot of times what's happening is these kids are acting out because they're angry, because they have bitterness toward their dad who's not involved. Sometimes they have bitterness toward their mom. They don't really know where to point their anger. They just know they're angry, and they see kids around them not going through the same thing that they're going through. So that means we have to step up as dads and get involved. Father factor in teen pregnancy and sexual activity. Being raised by a single mother raises the risk of a teen pregnancy. Marrying with less than a high school degree and forming a marriage where both partners have less than a high school degree. So again, we want to seek the ideal situation. So that is my goal today, is to talk about what it means to have a dad involved. And I know that some people are like, well, my dad was involved and he was a jerk. I didn't even like him being involved. But think about the situation of what we have there. And I know that whoever's listening to this, they have people in mind. Maybe you're listening to this and you're saying, that's my situation. My anger and bitterness was based on an absent father. Maybe you're listening to this and you're immediately thinking of single moms in your church, single moms on your street. Maybe you think of friends from high school and folks that you look to and you go, oh, that explains a lot. What we need to do you can't legislate fatherhood, right? I mean, we can't just pass a law that says all dads must be engaged in the life of their child. We can't do that. But what we need to be doing is celebrating the scenario where the dad is involved. And so what we've done since Roe v. Wade is we've completely shut the man up. Right? So we say, well, men have no right to say what I do with my body. That's what a pro-choice advocate would say, is men have no right to say anything about what I do with my body. Bernie Sanders just last night said in a town hall, they asked him, they said, do you see any reason to restrict abortion at any point in the pregnancy? You know what Bernie said? Bernie said, women need to make that choice. Men have no right to make that choice or even get involved in that choice. So, no, I see no reason, because that's ultimately up to the woman. Now, what is that doing? Is that encouraging and celebrating an involved father? No. That's saying that the dad has no say, the father has no say in the matter. And so that isn't the answer, but that's what we've been doing since Roe v. Wade, is we have been devaluing the voice of the male involved. We've been devaluing all of that. So what we now have is we have men that come out and they say, well, I know she's pregnant, but I mean, who am I to encourage her one way or the other? I'm just going to wash my hands of it. I'm not going to get involved. I support whatever decision she chooses to make. And then our jails fill up with kids, and our juvenile detention centers fill up with kids because dad is nowhere to be found. And that is not okay. We see women constantly come into Hope alone. Why? Because dad is disengaged and not involved. Father of the child is not involved. He wants to be Mr. Tough Guy and lay down with her. But then Mr. Tough Guy runs like a coward because he can't man up and take care of the consequences of his actions. And so what we have to do as a as a society and as a culture, is say, no, no, fathers do matter. Parenting is needed by mom and dad. Now, sometimes that gets messy, and sometimes that's difficult. And we're going to talk about that here in a sec. We'll be back.
Never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Well, that's a perfect song. That's a, you know, it's funny. That song, what it's doing is talking about God and saying, you're a good, good father. And what better model do we have than the creator of the universe and the one that that takes care of everything? So as dads, we need to look to, okay, what is, like even when my son said, Daddy, you'll always be able to carry me. Is that not how we look to the Lord? God, you'll always be able, no matter how old I am, no matter how dark it gets, you're always going to be able to carry me. So what we're talking about today is the dad effect. We're talking about how absentee fathers really damage our society, damage our culture, and what we have to do is get back to a place where we celebrate dads and we celebrate their roles. I remember an old saying that hung on the wall in my childhood home. Anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. Now, I took note of this at a very young age. I analyzed it and studied it as I looked at my relationship with my own dad and the relationship I desire to have with my future children. This quote was not referring to the title a child might give his dad, but instead was pointing to the importance and need for a child to have a male figure involved in his life. There is a great deal of truth to this quote, but I'm afraid we have a lot more fathers out there than dads. How do I know this? The statistics prove it and are staggering. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 1 in 3 children, a total of about 24 million, are being raised in a biological father absent home. A father was certainly involved in the making of these children, but they never quite made the transition to being a dad. Now, why is this important? Don't we desire for women to be independent and free of the need for a man? This is what the culture would tell you, but the truth is in the numbers. The 2014 study I mentioned earlier also stated that almost half of these single-parent homes were living below the poverty line. In contrast, among children living with both parents, only 13% or so fall in this category. I think most would agree that the ideal scenario for all families is one that includes a husband and a wife raising their kids together in what we might call a traditional setting. Unfortunately, the ideal is becoming the abnormal. More and more families are being started out of wedlock and in difficult situations. Financial issues, relationship issues, housing issues, and educational issues place a significant burden on these moms, dads, and most importantly, their children. Many have pontificated and attempted to fix this broken model in front of us that is leaving millions of kids in limbo and in very unstable situations. There are differing opinions on the correction that is needed. I'm not going to outline those here today, but I do want to discuss some options that could, at the very least, help get us as close to the ideal as we possibly can. We currently live in a world that devalues the role of a dad. Sitcoms have spent years turning dads into bumbling fools. Feminists have spent years saying men are the problem and in no way a part of the solution. Men themselves have pushed this narrative by disengaging and deflecting their responsibilities in the home with their partner and with their children. We see this every single day at Hope as women come alone and prepare to parent alone. We are in drastic need of a pivot point. Celebrating the role of dads does not diminish the roles of moms. Can we not, as a society, desire more for our kids? Kids, at the very least, need both mom and dad to care about them. Mom and dad may despise one another and in no way want to be together, but that doesn't change the fact that a child is in need. At what point do we recognize the damage that has been done and seek to correct it? Studies have been done and statistics point to the dire need for a change, but studies and numbers do not a change make. I know there isn't an easy or quick fix here. A change of this magnitude will take years to implement, an actual desire for change in selfish parents to put their children first. Many make the decision to participate in the act of baby making, but neglect the actual consequence of that action. Oftentimes, when people find out they're pregnant, they will say this, "I don't know how this happened." This statement is dumbfounding. We know exactly how it happens. It has happened this way since the beginning of time. Here's a breaking news for you. Sexual intercourse, shockingly enough, frequently produces a baby. We know this to be true. This is, after all, how we ourselves came to be. Now that we recognize the truth, we must deal with the consequence of that truth. That means we must put differences aside at times and seek to raise children together. I know some will read this and think I'm arguing for one-night stands to drive to Vegas or pigeon forwards and get married. I do believe that marriage, again, is the ideal situation for rearing children, but I'm not naive. I know that the ideal is not always reality. With this being the case, we must then decide what the next step should be. Should the dad wash his hands of the situation? Should the mom keep the dad out of the loop? Should the baby never be considered a life and be disposed of? I'm afraid that too many men and women refuse to even ask these questions, even though the answers could truly change the trajectory for millions of children. The reason why the number of fatherless children is so high is because for so many, this is the norm and all they have ever known. Now, this does not excuse a disengaged dad, but it does help explain their actions. Anyone can be a father. This statement crushes me, but dads should not be satisfied with this. Dads own the consequences of their actions. Dads understand their role as a valuable one in the raising of their child. Dads understand that their petty differences with their partner are not enough to drive them to neglect a life that they helped make. Dads take pride in being engaged in the process. Being a dad is hard work, but it is work that is life-changing. My heart breaks for the millions growing up without a dad, but at some point our heartbreak must reach a level of action. So tell a dad today that you love them and appreciate them. I would also encourage those dads out there who are engaged in the process to find some of the fatherless kids in your community and stand in the gap for them. Your love and attention will go a long way to impacting them for years to come. Our present and future generations depend on it. So how do we change? And where do we start? Absentee fathers are pushing a large part of our populace in a very, very, very dark direction. And what we have to do, and what we have to understand, I know there's dads out there that have fought to be involved in their kids' life. I know dads that have fought and they've gotten custody because there was an absentee mom. I know dads that couldn't stand their partner, but made it work because their love for their child was more important than their petty differences with their partner. And I also know dads that have absolute no contact with their kids. And so if you happen to be listening today, that first off, that's ridiculous. If you decided to lay down with a female and then you're shocked at what comes from that, well, I'm sorry, but that's how the body works. And what you are to do now is stand up, man up, and take care of that child. I mean, as a dad, when I get home every day, my kids come running and give me hugs and they are so deeply in love with their mommy and their daddy. Now, is that because I'm some amazing person? No. I fail every single night, actually, and lose my cool and act like an idiot and do things I shouldn't do. But they do that because they sense that I'm coming home. Someone loves them. Their mommy and daddy loves them and wants to be involved in their life. I know. Young men right now, young teenagers that have no dads involved in their life, and they're eagerly searching for a male figure to show interest in them. And so what that means is that's not simply saying hey to them. It may mean actually getting your hands dirty. You know, and I talk about that all the time, but we are to be doers of the word. We are to take care of the orphans. We are to take care of the widows. So if you know of kids that are out there that don't have a dad, whether that was because of an absentee dad or because they lost their dad, step up. How hard is it to make one day a month, one day every 2 weeks, devoted to pouring into someone else, pouring into a young person that you want to see a future for? You don't want their future to be on the streets. You don't want their future to lead them to prison. But the numbers show that absentee dads, the result of that is poverty. The result of that is broken homes. The result of that is more kids getting incarcerated. And I know that's tough language, and a lot of times we don't want to say that. But we will never fix the incarceration numbers, the poverty numbers, if we don't fix the absentee father numbers. Like, do y'all understand that? Our government officials don't understand that. Our presidential candidates don't understand that. We never fix the incarceration or the poverty numbers until we fix absentee father numbers. And that's white, black, Asian, Hispanic, you name it. If you're an absentee father, I don't care what color you are, you've been called to love and take care of your child. And that may mean you can't go out to the club one night. That may mean you have to get up early. That may mean you have to take them to school or you have to take a day off of work. But isn't that the least you can do for the child you brought into this world? For the child that our Lord gave you to be a good steward of? So that is what we have been called to do. So the dad effect is one that we have to have that conversation. Because we don't fix anything until we fix that. And if we start there, if we start at the root of the problem, then yeah, maybe our jails won't be full of people. Maybe the number of people in poverty will go down. Because a lot of times people don't want to talk about statistics and the numbers and look at all of that. But they're so obvious. And the common denominator is absentee fathers. And I remember as a little boy looking up on the wall and seeing that above. It was actually above where my dad would sleep, above his side of the bed. And it said, anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. And even at an early age, I used to read that and go, what does that mean? I mean, isn't father and dad the same thing? And I was looking at it more of I would never call my dad father. And my dad would even say, don't you ever call me father. And I think it was because of that quote. Because, yeah, any man can, I guess, be a sperm donor and make a baby. But it does take someone special to stand up and say, no, I'm gonna love this child. I'm going to take care of this child. Excuse me. There have been times at Hope where we've seen a new boyfriend who's not even the dad of the child step up and take care of that child. And that's being a dad, and that's being engaged, and that's taking care of your business. And so we're going to talk more about that and some different ways we can take care of that when we come back. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. We do this every single week on Tuesday afternoons. You can also hear us if you go to our website, investinghope.com. We have the podcast there. Just click on blog, and then you can scroll down to podcasts. You can also find us on iTunes. So our goal here every single week is to celebrate life, talk about hope, and really just to talk about the things going on around this community and around the country. And today what we're doing is we're talking about fatherhood. We're talking about the importance of dads being involved in the life of their children. And so, you know, we've spent the first part of the show talking about absentee fathers and really their lack of involvement. And so what does this mean? How do we change? How do we get us to a point of ending the cycle generation after generation of absentee fathers? Well, one thing that we can do is good men and fathers need to step up and help out single moms. And so what does that mean? That doesn't necessarily mean courting them, obviously. Now, if you are single and you're a good, godly man, then yes, it does mean that. It does mean finding, not ruling out the thought of marrying a single mom and understanding that then that child becomes yours. But what it can also mean is you taking some time out, maybe once every month or once every 2 weeks, and pouring into a young man and pouring into a young man that doesn't have a dad at home. Now he may not have a dad at home because the dad's absent and just has never been involved, but he may not have a dad at home because his dad died. And he has a void now in his life, and he needs that. And so we need to be looking for ways to impact that next generation. Because if we do that, and if we step into those situations, then we can truly change future generations. And so that means mentoring them and understanding that churches, I think this is a blind spot for a lot of churches, is we have single ministry where we throw all the single people in there. Some of them have kids, some of them have grown kids, some of them have teenagers, some of them have young kids, and we throw all them into a room together. And then we don't really pour into their children. Now, yes, their children are in youth group. Yes, their children are in kids ministry. But are their children finding ways to have someone involved in their life? And what that doesn't mean you simply have them over to your house to play with your child, right? I mean, that's easy. Now, you can call that mentoring. You can call that pouring into that child. But in reality, it's a play date to keep your other kid occupied so you can go do whatever it is you want to do. Well, mentoring and loving is difficult. So we have to do more than that. Maybe it's doing yard work with them. It's teaching them to do things that men do. Maybe it's cutting wood. Maybe it's throwing the ball around. Whatever that is for you, but it's showing them that you love them, that they have value, that the reason that their dad is not involved is not because of them. I mean, a lot of these kids have bitterness, and some of them wonder, well, is it me? Did he just not want me? And so we need to let them know they have value. They are worthy. And it's not their fault at all. So we get engaged and we involve ourselves with them. And really, we love our own kids. Like, it really is that simple. Yeah, I hear so many times that, you know, people say, well, men are the problem. And, you know, they're just, and that's not the case. We have to stand and say, no, we're going to get involved. We're going to help out where we can. So it starts certainly with churches. Churches have to open up doors for that kind of interaction. So maybe that's a, you know, I know there's some churches in town that have Man Day, and what they do is they like get together and eat hot wings and watch football and do a quick devotion. But we need to look at ways where we can interact and engage with these, especially the young men, not just young men though, but at times, obviously daughters that don't have dads involved in their life. But we need to engage with the young men that are coming up because we want to break that cycle. So what will happen if you do that? If you put aside one night a month to say, hey, I'm going to be involved in this kid's life. One night a month, we're going to go throw a ball around. One night a month, we're going to go out to eat and see a movie. One night a month, we're going to, you know, fill in the blank. We're going to go hiking or biking or whatever. If you just schedule it on your calendar, one night a month, I'm going to do this. And you have an opportunity to talk with this kid about what it means to be a man. How did God design us? What does the future hold for that child? What happens is when you do that, what happens is the single mom then has an opportunity to breathe. Because single mom is trying to be mom, dad, coach, everything. She's trying to do it all, and she's stressed out and she's overwhelmed. And so what we have to do is look at ways to give her a break. And so that would be a great way for you to give her a break. But what it also is then when you take that kid out, and all he knows is generations of dads being disengaged, you can show them, hey, this is not your identity. This is not who you are. I spoke with a young man a few months ago who, you know, him and his girlfriend, you know, had an unplanned pregnancy. And I looked at him and I said, so what does this mean for you? I said, tell me about your family. And he said, well, I have four siblings. None of us have the same dad. A couple of them's dad has died. He was killed. They were killed. And then my dad's in prison. And I looked at him and I said, so are you prepared to be a statistic? Or are you prepared to not have that for your child and to step up and do what you're supposed to do? And he's being a dad. He's taking care of his responsibility. He's taking care of his baby. Now, that's difficult, but he's doing it. So what we do is we set aside a night a month, and we pour into those kids. And when you do that, and you say you're going to graduate high school, you're going to go into college, you're going to get a great job, you're going to find a nice girl, you're going to marry her, then y'all are going to have a family. And guess what? If they do that, you've broke the cycle. You've changed generations to come, all because you set aside one night a month to love on a child that needed to be loved on. Now, that's hard work, right? And what I'm also not saying is neglect your kids. So don't neglect your kids to go love somebody else's kid. You need to make sure your kid is okay at home, and you're dealing with your kids at home and loving your children and taking care of them, and they feel loved and they feel like they're worthy and they feel like they have value. But if you got all that in order, then step up and be that for a child that just doesn't have that opportunity. Because what you're also doing in those moments is you're showing them the gospel. You're showing them what God does for us. When we feel alone and we feel like we don't have value, our God steps up. When everyone else turns their back on us, our God steps up. Right? So that's what we are doing for these kids. And if we do that, incarceration rates will go down. Poverty will go down. And we don't have to wait for it to be legislated. We can just say, hey, there's a need. I'm going to step up and meet that need. And don't let it overwhelm you. But man, there I guarantee you, there are kids on your street. There are kids that go to school with your kids. And there are kids in your church that have anger and bitterness built up because dad has never been involved in their life. And you can make a difference in their life. Not just now, but for future. You can turn them, you know, as people are saying, well, men are dogs and there's all the good men are taken and all these things. You could help prepare good, godly men. I mean, I have two daughters. The more good, godly men we have prepared, the better. So you could help do that. And what an impact that one day they look back and they say, one of the pillars of my faith is a man that, even though he was not my dad, saw value in me and stepped up. And you don't have to be a youth pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a coach. You just need to be a dude that loves people and loves God and wants to see a change in trajectory for these young men. That's all it takes. And it'll make a lasting impression on so many. And it will change the dynamic. It'll change the belief system that men are dogs and there's no good men out there and they're all terrible. And because there are a lot of dogs and a lot of terrible men out there. But if the good ones would step up and start taking care of some of these other ones at a young age and impacting their life at a young age, you think there would be all this sexual abuse and assaults and everything on campuses if men were actually involved in their kids' lives? Not okay to simply walk when times get tough. That's not okay. We have three kids at our house now. Lord have mercy, there's times when it gets tough. We don't get to sleep. Kids are crawling in our bed all hours of the night. They want you to lay in their little tiny bed every night. I've laid in a baby bed before with my child. Think I enjoyed that? Now, one day I'll look back and say, oh, it's a sweet memory. But what we have to do is understand that it's worth it. And yes, but you're going to fail. You're going to mess up. You're going to say something you shouldn't. You're going to push too far. But the important thing is you're stepping up and you're loving and doing what you need to do as you've been designed to do it. So we'll be back to talk more in a sec. And And we're back. This is Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Today we've been talking about absentee fathers. We've been, you know, really we've kind of been beating up on absentee fathers, and let's face it, they deserve it. So what we have to do as men, for so long, people will say men are the problem. Men are the issue. So feminists will say that. Pro-choice advocates will say that. And it's frustrating because there are good men out there. I hear women all the time say, well all the good men are taken, or all the good men are gone. Men, we bring that on ourselves. So what we have to do is change that. Well, how do we change that? Well, one way of doing that is first off, not laying down with everything and not seeking out sexual pleasure over all else. Right? So another way we change that is if we do find ourselves in a situation where we're dealing with an unplanned pregnancy, regardless if you and Boothang decide to work it out or not, you and child have a relationship forever, right? So what you have to do as a man is then look and say, okay, this is not going to be easy. I may have to get another job. I may have to postpone my college. But I will be involved in my child's life. I mean, for so long, we've been okay with the bare minimum. And the bare minimum is just not getting it done. The bare minimum is overflowing our jails. The bare minimum is making poverty skyrocket. Is that what we want for the future of our country? Is that what we want for the future of our communities, for the future of our kids, of our families? So what that means is we step up to the plate and we say, yeah, this is going to be difficult, but I'm going to deal with the consequences of my actions. And women, what that means for you is you have to be open to that. You have to say, look, yeah, we now are faced with an unplanned pregnancy, and the best situation for this child is to have his or her dad involved. And that's not going to be easy. It makes for a lot of awkward conversations, a lot of awkward situations where families may not get along. But the best scenario for the child is if mom and dad are engaged in their lives. If mom and dad is involved in ballet class, if mom and dad is involved in baseball and basketball and football or chess or whatever it is this kid's interested in, mom and dad needs to be, my dad is a dairy farmer, right? And so my dad would get up every morning at 5 and go to the barn and milk, and he'd get done about 9 o'clock, and then he would go back to the barn at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and milk till around 6. Now, my parents divorced when I was 14 years old, but do you know that my dad never missed one of my ball games? I mean, there were times where actually I was frustrated because my dad was too involved in my life. And I know you're listening to that and you're going, shut your mouth, Andrew. You had it pretty good. But really, as a teenager, there were times where I was like, Daddy, give me space. Goodness gracious. But I look back now and I'm going, man, thank the good Lord that my dad was even interested in my life. My dad could have cared less about basketball. He didn't know the rules. He couldn't shoot a ball to save his life, but yet he was involved because why? Because his son was interested in the game. And my dad was by no means perfect, not even close. But what he knew was, I need to be involved in my kid's life. And I may fail at times, and I may not know how to do that the proper way, but I am going to be involved. And then my stepdad, involved in my life. Does that make it awkward sometimes and tough and difficult and messy? Yeah. Were there tears? Yes. Was there yelling and throwing of things and saying words we shouldn't say? Yes, there were. But I look back and I thank the good Lord that there were men that cared enough about me to stand with me. And now I'm doing that for my kids. And Lord, I just pray that you are doing that for your kids. If you know of a single mom right now, go out, help them as much as you can, and thank a dad today for standing and being the dad they need to be. We'll be back next week.